Let us pray. Almighty God, we praise you today for your work in the world. We praise you for your work in the authors of scriptures, and we praise you for the author of today's sermon text. We pray that as we hear his words of praise, as we hear his words of rejoicing at your steadfast love and your faithfulness, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today's sermon comes to us from the exact middle of the Bible, if you count the chapters. Psalm 117 is the middle chapter in the Scriptures. And it's also the shortest chapter in the Scriptures. We don't know who wrote it. We know only that the psalmist had glorious things to say. And in Psalm 117, we have found two verses. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. And this is the word of the Lord. This may be the shortest chapter in all the Bible, but don't let its size fool you. The greatest chapter in the Bible, or the shortest chapter, proclaims one of the greatest lessons in history, and that is that God's love covers the world. God's love covers the world. And we don't know who wrote this psalm. We know only that the person who wrote it did so long before the Jews realized that God loved the rest of the nations as much as he did them. In the Old Testament times before Jesus, most Jews thought that their relationship with God did not extend to other nations. And they may not have kept the agreement, the covenant with God that he gave them, but they never forgot that they and they alone were God's chosen people, born to him through their fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Jews were the ones to whom God gave the law. The Jews were the ones to whom God sent the prophets. But this psalm does not say, O Israel, praise the Lord. This psalm goes deeper. This psalm says, all nations praise the Lord. All nations praise the Lord. And this shows us that even before the time of Jesus, God had already begun to reach out to people from other nations. The Jews lived in modern Iraq and Iran as far back as 2,800 years ago. And the archaeologists are constantly uncovering libraries. And one of the biggest libraries they have uncovered was the king of Assyria's library in Nineveh. And in Nineveh, the Assyrian king had compiled a vast library of practically everything written at that time. If he could not get his hands on the originals, he took a copy, which tells us that copies of the Jewish scriptures as they had them at that time had already made it their way throughout the known world at that time. And in the time leading up to Jesus' birth, we find that people called God-fearers included Romans and Greeks and others. These people were not Jews, and in some cases would never become Jews, but they would still go to the synagogues to worship God with the Jews. They would still believe in God. And we find a really good example of that over in the New Testament book of Acts, where St. Peter went to the house of a Roman in Caesarea, of all places, to tell them about Jesus. The people to whom he spoke were God-fearers. So people already knew about God. And this psalmist says for us to praise God. And we have all these people today who will say, well, praise God for that, or praise God for this, or thank the Lord, or praise the Lord. What does it mean when we hear praise the Lord? To praise God means that we give him the credit to which he is due. When we praise God, we tell other people of the good things he has done for us. And we do not praise God only because he has done good things for us. We also praise God because he has been with us in the bad times of life as well. No one makes it through life without scars. And we worship a God who teaches us in the Bible that he stays with us even in the bad times, even in the sorrows, as he does in the good times. We truly have reason to praise the Lord. And the psalmist also said here, extol him, all peoples. Well, we have this word extol. And even though it also means to praise, it goes a step above. This is to praise God when he does mighty things in our lives. When he delivers us from trials or from dangers or something like this. In the work of God in the Old Testament, this would have reminded the Jews that he brought them out of slavery in Egypt and gave them a land of their own. It would remind them that God had worked in their lives and done great things for their nation. And even as Israel saw its fortunes go up and down and up and down, and even as they saw their nation destroyed, they could still remember that God had done great things for them and that he would do great things for them. So yes, that is why we should praise the Lord. He has done great things for us. And the psalmist says, great is his steadfast love for us. And it's time for me to teach you a word in Hebrew. So you can all say, hey, I know something in Hebrew. The word is chesed. Say it with me. Chesed. Okay, now if you're sitting in front, behind somebody, and you don't see something on their head right here, you didn't say it right. Try it again. Chesed. Yeah, it's one of those words where somebody's kind of sort of hoping you're not behind them. But anyhow, that word means a permanent, unconditional, covenant love of God. It is an eternal love. It is a love that cannot be broken. It is a love that means that God loves us unconditionally. There is nothing we can do. Nothing we can do to break that love of God, to make us stop loving us. And his love does not rely on our decision to love him. There are lots of people out there who say, well, I'll show him. I will tell him when I will love him. It does not work that way. God's love is to us regardless of whether we love him or not. And then when he draws us to himself and we come to love him, we begin to realize the depth of that steadfast love. That love that draws us to God, and that love that means that we truly can live in his presence, knowing that regardless of what we face, he is there with us because he is faithful. The faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. And some people would say, well, when is that going to end? The prophet Jeremiah received a message from God. And his message says, thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for light by day, and the fixed order of the moon and the stars for light by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If this fixed order departs from before me, declares the Lord, then shall the offspring of Israel cease from being a nation before me forever. Don't know about you, but at no time in my life have I ever seen the sun refuse to come up in the mornings. The earth still revolves around the sun. We have records of the stars that go back thousands of years, and the stars still rise in the same way. God has set this, and it is a part of his steadfast love for us, a part of his faithfulness to us. Here is the thing about faithfulness. When God makes a promise, he will keep it. He is going to keep it. God will keep every promise he has ever made in the Bible and in our lives. And today, in this service, we have witnessed a promise that God made to us in baptism. You see, Jesus came to earth because God had promised that he would send a deliverer to save us from our sins. And Jesus promised that he would accept everyone who came to him. And when Peter first met the Romans at Cornelius' house, he told them that now I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. And when Jesus died on the cross, we are told that he died for the sins of the whole world. And when Jesus rose again from the dead, he conquered death for everyone who believes in him, regardless of the nation or the race or the language of the new believer. When we gather here in Greensboro to worship God, we do not do so alone. We gather with believers from around the world every Sunday. We gather with believers going back centuries before our birth. And not an hour goes by where somewhere on this planet, someone is not praying. Do you realize that the worship of God started this morning several hours back? That they have already worshiped and finished their worship in Japan before we arrive today for Sunday school. And now we worship at this time. And when we finish our worship, someone in the mountain time zone will be starting their worship. And then someone in the Pacific time zone, all the way as the world rotates. And because of missionaries and others throughout the world, there is not an hour that goes by where the name of God and his son Jesus are not being praised somewhere in the world. And yes, today we have seen a fulfillment. We have seen Miho come into the church through baptism. And we have praised God because of his love for her and his love for us. And I don't know that it has really sunk in on me the magnitude of what we have witnessed today. The church has grown by one. And people, we were there. Isn't that amazing? We were there. And just as we celebrate with Miho, we too have gone through this. God began working in our lives long before today. He has taken us through joy, and he has taken us through heartbreak. He has never left us, even in the darkest hours when we feel alone. We join Christians throughout the world who have experienced and who still praise God for His steadfast love. We join Christians who carried the faith for centuries. And Miho, you joined Christians who carried the faith for centuries in Japan, even when they did not have Bibles. When Bibles meant they would die, they still carried the gospel and spread the gospel to other people. And here in America, we have experienced nothing like that. But our faith goes back to those who carried the gospel in dangerous times, in the times of Rome, and in other times in history. We all together join those that the Apostle St. John writes about when they celebrate the everlasting faithfulness of God. How many of us have ever read the book of the Revelation and realized its emphasis on worship? Worship. I'll speak to the American Christians here. Forget all that crystal ball stuff. Please. Don't be scared of that book. It is not about some fortune-telling stuff. It is about worship. And John writes to us to say, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, Jesus, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.'" So Christian, today, let us join the nations and let us praise the Lord. As we celebrate His steadfast love, let us praise the Lord. And as we gather at the table of Holy Communion, given to us by Jesus Himself, that we might know fellowship with Him, let us join others around the world and in all time, and let us praise the Lord. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.